do you want good news of great joy today?
Yes.
Or do you want bad news? You want bad news? I got a lot of places I can take you. If you want good news of great joy, you definitely came to the right place. Praise God. I'm really privileged and honored to share this message with you all today. It's a wonderful message. I'm an engineer by trade, and my brother Tom's not, and he's an engineer too. We always got to figure out why. So my task is, what is the cause of good news and great joy? So that this can really overflow in our hearts. It is Jesus. Simply speaking. But let's study this again today, okay? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for giving us this time to come together. Lord, so many places we can go for bad news. But there's few we can go for good news. And no place we can go for good news of great joy, except to hear your word. Please, Father, hold me with your grace. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And may you bless this word of God today. I pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
The title is Good News of Great Joy. It's from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. And the key verses are verses 10 and 11. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." Maybe it's here. We can read this all together. Can we read it together with that? Let's go. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy among the all. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Christ of the Lord." Well, I messed up. He is the Messiah of the Lord. Today, God brought us here to hear the good news that causes great joy. Thank God. It is today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This year seemed to have too much bad news. You know, well, there were mass shootings, images of broken people fleeing in caravans, hurricanes causing devastation, wildfires causing more devastation, threats of war from various places, a rocky economy, etc., etc. I tried to follow events on social media, but I looked at the comment sections. They were so full of hatred. This bothered me the most. Why is there so much hatred among people? This is bad news. Then about 6 weeks ago, Pastor Ron asked me if I would give the Christmas message. And I wanted to end the year with good news. Then I remembered Luke chapter 2, verse 10, where an angel said, "I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." Wow! The angel promised good news plus great joy. Causing ordinary joy is good enough. But this news will cause great joy. And it is for all the people, literally everyone, everywhere who ever lived. Wow. What can give this joy? Recently, my daughter traveled to many places for work, such as a small village in Ghana, Africa, and in the Ukraine. And she also worked in Harlem and in the Bronx in New York City. She told me the diverse needs of so many people. Yet the angel promised the birth of the Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ, is good news of great joy for them all. We want to end 2018 and begin 2019 with this good news. Amen. May God open our hearts to receive this good news and fill us with great joy now and forever.
Amen.
We begin by continuing the story of Jesus' birth. To recap, Jesus' parents, Mary and Joseph, were forced to go from Nazareth in Galilee to Bethlehem in Judea by the Roman Emperor Caesar Augustus for a census. While there, the time came for Mary to give birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no other place for him. According to verse 8, there happened to be shepherds living out in the field nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. Then, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. The sleepy shepherds working night shift were suddenly overwhelmed by the sight of a glorious angel and the glory of the Lord shining around them. Can you imagine it? The sleepy shepherds were suddenly surrounded by the most brilliant light, more brilliant than the best light show the world has ever seen. It was God celebrating the birth of his son. We know fathers are happy at the birth of their children, right? Even God could not control his joy at the birth of his son. He had to tell someone. So he sent an angel to shepherds, even for a short time. Of course, the shepherds were terrified. Who wouldn't be terrified when seeing something like this? But the angel said to them, Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. The angel comforted them. God wanted to give them and us good news. You know, this is the meaning of Christmas. God wants to give us good news because he loves us. Often, good news for one person is not good news for another. Particularly in sports and politics, there's a winner and a loser. The winner rejoices, while the loser cries. But this good news is for all the people. We're all winners. As we said, this good news is the birth of the Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. Let's think about why. First, Jesus is the Savior. The angel said, "Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you." When a king has a son, usually it is announced, "The future king is born." Yet the angel emphasized that a Savior has been born to us. It is because all people need a Savior. During final season, many students surely cry out, "Lord, save me!" You don't know how many times I've cried out, "Lord, save me, Lord," during finals. The Israelites believed they needed saving from Rome. God promised to send a Savior from the line of King David. That is why the angel said, "Today, in the town of David." However, the Savior God was sending would save mankind from something far greater than a political kingdom. That's too small for God. Mankind's problems are too severe for that. God's coming to our root problems with the Savior. God was first one to rescue people's hearts and minds. So many people we know have broken hearts and minds. Even if they look good on the outside, maybe even laughing all the time, there are many who are crying in their hearts. Robin opinions of my time. It made so many people laugh so hard. But he was brokenhearted. And 4 years ago, he committed suicide. The root cause of broken hearts, according to the Bible, is separation from God, which is sin. Sin is a deadly disease that has affected all mankind. What is worse is that there is no cure for sin. There is nothing in medicine that can cure sin. No antibiotic for sin. What is worse is that sin causes great wounds. In the Bible, Satan is depicted as a fierce dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns. He is too smart and too powerful for any human being to defeat, who has only 1 head and 0 horns. Satan outwits them and causes them to sin. When they are doomed, they're impaled by his horns with an incurable wound. Many try to cover up their wounds in some way, such as with drugs or crutches. But the wounds remain. It's like makeup. What is worse, wounded people wound others, even though they don't want to. But in verse 11, the angel said, "A Savior has been born to us. He is Jesus, who saves us from our sins." Jesus saves us by defeating the power of the devil. Luke 1:69 says that Jesus is the horn of salvation. Jesus breaks the power of sin and Satan. Jesus is like a ram going to battle to crush Satan's horns. At the same time, Jesus' horn has power to heal all of our wounds. 1 Peter 2:24 says, "He himself bore his sins in his body, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed." No matter the wound, Jesus can heal us. To anyone who is wounded, Jesus wants to come and heal you this Christmas. This year, I felt the pain of being wounded in my heart. I had a vision for years to build up an orchestra. But over time, I became lazy and was struck with many bad habits. And then I lost hope. But others worked hard and did a great job leading a fantastic orchestra, especially at a conference this summer. I was struck in my heart that I had messed up so badly and hurt people, whether I intended to or not. Really, it felt like a knife was piercing my heart. What could I do? But God allowed me to speak about Jesus, the Savior who heals our wounds. Jesus began to heal me. And I believe Jesus would heal all wounds and grow well among us. Maybe some of you have wounds, even though they don't want to show up. It's okay. Go to Jesus privately and receive his healing. Jesus is also the Savior who saves us from the power of death. In the early 20th century, some very clever men created the Humanist Manifesto. It rejected religion and promoted making a utopia, a paradise by human goodness, intellect, and technology. Yet, even if this were possible, making a utopia, one problem remains. The problem of death. The power of death has overruled the world since sin entered the world. All despair and sorrow ultimately come from the power of death. There is no remedy for death. Maybe young people don't think about the power of death, your 30s, your muscle mass starts to decline. So if you're in your 30s, sorry, you're on a downhill slope. My wife teaches anatomy, and she came home to me one day, and she said, you know, you're on a downhill slope. You have to exercise, so I try to exercise. So if you're 20s, you're okay for a little while. There's also another cute story about the car that when my kids were young, we had two gerbils, which are baby hamsters. We named them David and Jonathan. My son really loved Jonathan. Sam, you saw him. But one day, Jonathan died. And Sam cried and cried. That's really the power of death, something we love. God. It is tragic. But we told him he went to heaven. He was dancing around the fields of heaven. So he wrote him a Christmas card every year. Merry Christmas, hope you're having fun in heaven. But the power of death is real. We all get old. We see loved ones get old and die. And it makes us very sore. Very, very sorrowful. But the angel announced, we have a Savior who saves us from the power of death. After his crucifixion, Jesus rose from the dead, defeating the power of death. That changes everything. Those in Jesus have eternal life and even laugh at the power of death. They say, to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we can laugh at the power of death. Jesus saves us from death, giving us eternal life. Amen. Maybe someday my son will see Jonathan in the kingdom of heaven. Dancing in the field. But ultimately, Jesus saves us to restore us to his eternal kingdom. God's original plan was that for all mankind to live in and manage his kingdom, which is paradise forever. No matter our race, gender, age, culture, or whatever, we were all created to live in God's paradise forever. Paradise is perfection. Perfect peace, perfect joy, perfect love, perfect food, and even perfect temperature. Wow, no cold. And it's a perfect love relationship with God. However, I don't think anyone lives in a paradise. If you do, I want to come live with you today. And none of us is good enough to manage paradise. Even making a happy home is so difficult for most of us. Instead of paradise, the world we see is riddled with disease, violence, injustice, hunger, corruption, and death. And so much garbage! I'm really bothered by the huge garbage patch in the Pacific Ocean. We all groan because we need to live in paradise, but do not. We try to take vacations to beautiful places to enjoy even for a few days. Or we just look at the pamphlets and lie. Not only so, but then we return to the real world too soon. And not only so, but our character became corrupt. And people became terrible. Murderers and liars and cheaters and greedy people. How did this happen? angel said, "Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you." This is the most important and beautiful message. Jesus saves us from our sins and restores us to his eternal paradise in his kingdom forever. It is the best news anyone can give you. There is a story that reveals how Jesus forgives and restores a person to paradise. It was at Jesus' cross. Jesus was unjustly tried, condemned, and sentenced to death by crucifixion. As he hung there, so many people mocked him. Next to him were two criminals being executed for their sins. One of them mocked Jesus too. But Jesus was hanging there, shedding his holy blood for our sins. He prayed on the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Jesus revealed he was dying for the forgiveness of sins of everyone, even those who crucified him. Jesus offered his life for our lives, so we could be forgiven. The other criminal couldn't believe what he heard. Jesus was hanging on a cross, but he saw God in Jesus and believed Jesus would soon enter into his kingdom. In the last moments of his life, he shamelessly asked, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." What did Jesus say to him? "Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Wow! Jesus promised to take that man that day with him to paradise. Jesus is the Savior who takes a criminal and each of us to paradise through the forgiveness of sins. It is Christmas, so I must give each of you a present. But I'm not like Oprah, there's nothing under your seat. Sorry. I wish I could give you a two-week Caribbean vacation in paradise. But I can't, sorry. However, I can offer you eternal paradise in the kingdom of God through the forgiveness of sins in our Lord Jesus Christ. Eternal paradise for each one of you. Amen. It is the best gift anyone can ever give. I thought I would have the best life in the world by playing music and living on a hill overlooking a forest. That's pretty nice. But when I denied God and lived a life of sin, my life was a mess. I was immoral, completely selfish, and almost became a drunk. At 25, I thought my life was ruined and thought about taking my life. As a last hope, I went to church and heard about Jesus' love and forgiveness. I came to UBF and was asked to memorize 1 Corinthians chapter 15, which talks about the kingdom of heaven. That passage convinced me there is the kingdom of God. And in heaven, I will look like Jesus. Wow! I will be changed and look like Jesus. I had real hope. I don't know how, but my life completely turned around. Music started to become a success. I started a new career as an engineer, married the most beautiful woman of God, and had two beautiful children. I also began to care for others for the first time. I began to love my brothers and sisters and my parents. There we go, what tell you the truth? And I offered my music degree to serve our church for nearly 30 years. But more than that, I have an eternal hope in the kingdom of God. Who could save me and give me hope like this? Only Jesus, our Savior.
Amen.
Second, Jesus is the Messiah, the Lord. Let's look at verse 11 again. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. The Lord means that Jesus is God and King. Why is Jesus the Lord? Good news. We need a government. But no human government is perfect. Those who hope in a perfect government of any kind will be greatly disappointed. The world has been riddled with many evil kings and rulers who abuse their people for their own benefit. Too many people have lost their lives because of evil kings' ego and greed. But Jesus is King of the perfect kingdom of God. He reigns with truth and justice and love. Matthew 26 describes Jesus' kingship. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Jesus cares for his people and protects them like a good shepherd. David said of the Lord in Psalm 23:1, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing." However, the fact that we have a Lord can be troubling. Many think they are their own Lord. But Jesus is the Lord. We need him to rule our hearts and lives and protect us. When we submit to his lordship, he rules us like a good shepherd. One woman is a brilliant scientist who developed cancer medicines. She should be happy. But once she famously wrote, "Though I developed medicines to save people's lives, I myself felt like I was dying." By God's grace, she received Jesus' love and decided to submit to him in her late 30s. We ask God, reveal your glory in her life. And God blessed her to marry the right man. And then at the age of 42, she gave birth to a healthy baby boy. She feels alive and still works on cancer medicines. When we submit to Jesus' lordship, Jesus rules us like a good shepherd and protects us. Look at verse 12. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in the manger. The baby in the manger is the sign that God's good news is true. So when we see a nativity scene, please remember that the angel's message is true. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared, maybe thousands of angels, praising God in a heavenly chorus, like harp chorus, and sang so beautifully. They sang, "Gloria to God in highest heaven, Gloria to God in highest heaven." Gloria, on earth to those on whom his favor rests. Then suddenly, as they appeared, the angels disappeared, returning to heaven. The shepherds said, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They went and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. What happened when they saw the baby Jesus? Verse 20 says, "The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told." The weary shepherds were filled with great joy, glorifying and praising God. Many of us may be weary after a difficult year. But today we heard that Jesus, the Savior and Lord, has been born for us. This is the best news for all of us. May God help us to accept this good news and have joy overflowing in our hearts. May this good news of great joy overflow in our hearts now and to the end of our days and to all people of the world.
Amen.
Merry Christmas.
Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for giving us the good news that causes great joy. We have a Savior who solves all of our problems and becomes our Lord and Good Shepherd. Please, may you overflow our hearts with this good news of great joy and make us a blessing now and forever. I pray in Jesus' name.